Would you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. And I want to speak today to this subject, the law of the harvest. Galatians, chapter 6. Will you stand with me, please, as we honor the reading of God's Word? Galatians 6, begin reading in verse 6. And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially those who are of the household of the faith. Father, give us a word from the Word today on sowing and reaping. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. By way of introduction, there are three things that I want to share with you about the law of the harvest. First one is this. We reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. Secondly, we reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. And thirdly, we reap later than we sow. We reap what we sow. If a man sows corn, he is going to reap corn, not peas and tomatoes. Though peas and tomatoes are mighty good with country fried corn. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. A man puts a seed of corn into the ground. He waits. A stalk of corn comes up on it with many ears of corn, and on the ears of corn, many kernels of corn. You reap more than you sow. And what is true in the planting agricultural world is also true in life. And you reap later than you sow. You have to wait for the harvest to come. You have to wait for the crop to come in. But it will come if you wait. Now, I want you to look with me into this passage as we talk about sowing and reaping, or the law of the harvest. The first thing I want you to see is this. Mocking is dangerous. Mocking God is dangerous. Look again at verse 7. Be not deceived. The word deceived there means you become your own worst enemy when you mock God. You become your own devil. Anyone who mocks God deceives himself. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. The word mocked comes from the Greek word that we get the word nose from, like the nose on your face. And to mock someone means you turn up your nose and you scoff at them. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? The Bible says they mocked him. They wagged their heads at him. They walked around the cross mocking him. They treated him as unworthy. And not only that, they treated him as though he did not have the ability to retaliate. That's why the Bible says that they said to him, if he is God, let him come down. If he can retaliate, if he can do anything about our mocking, let him come down. And yet the scripture says, God is not mocked. Which means man will not hold God in contempt, and they had better not think that God cannot retaliate. Charlie Chaplin was one of the great actors of the silent film years. Charlie Chaplin was also an atheist. And one of the ways that he entertained at his parties was he would walk into the middle of the room and he would say, God, if you're there, I curse you. Strike me dead. He would wait a few moments, and when God did not strike him dead, he would say, see, there is no God. He mocked God. Not too long ago, I was channel surfing. How many of you men ever channel surf? It's some of the only power we have, God. It's all right to raise your hands. And I come across a very popular comedian of our day. And I was stunned at what he was doing. He had a packed house and he was mocking God. As a matter of fact, it was almost like a church revival. He worked the people into a frenzy. There was this fervor. And as he came toward the end, he really got the crescendo going. And they were applauding. And he is mocking God, calling God the little invisible man. Do you ever wonder when you see things like that, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God retaliate? Because very frankly, God can retaliate. But you have to understand that God is not a child. He is infinitely wise, infinitely just, and infinitely holy. Therefore, God does not throw tantrums. And God works conducively within His own character. You will never find God anywhere in the Word doing something outside of His character. And in this day of mercy and grace, God has mercy on man. But God is doing something. It is called the law of the harvest. God is letting man sow, and man will reap what he sows, more than he sows, and later than he sows. At the end of the day, when everything is said and done, and God calls everything into judgment, man will have built his own gallows and hanged his own self. Ladies and gentlemen, life to be enjoyed, as God created life to be enjoyed, must be enjoyed by us honoring God. You know, I've witnessed something over my years of ministry. I have witnessed that there are many people who are non-believers who honor this verse more than believers do. They don't mock God. They treat their wives with integrity and respect. They treat their children with integrity and respect. They are good community people. They may belong to many clubs. And they treat life as though God is worthy of their lives. And yet I know many believers who walk in obstinance and in rebellion to the things of God. Why doesn't God do something against the chaplains of our day? Why doesn't God do something against the comedians who mock His name? It's because God has already done something in the law of the harvest. And what a man sows, he will also reap. You know that's true in your life and my life? You know that many of you here today, if we could have time to give testimony, could stand up and say, I begin seeing the law of harvest in my life. My life was falling apart. It was drugs, or it was alcohol, or it was some other kind of addiction or perversion. I was about to lose my family. I was about to lose my job. I was about to lose respect. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me, I am reaping what I have sown. And the law of the harvest, operative in your life, brought you to a place where you said, you know what? I need a relationship with the very God of creation and the very God of this universe. God is not mocked. Now, there's a second thing in this passage that's interesting. Reaping is definite. And we're going to reap in one way or another. We're either going to reap in death or we're going to reap in life. We're either going to minister death wherever we go or life wherever we go. Look at what he says in verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh. Now take out your pen and your pencil and underline the little word flesh there. Watch this. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from his flesh, underline flesh again, reap corruption. In other words, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap death and you're going to minister death wherever you go. Now, what is he talking about? Well, revisit with me for just a moment the works of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, look at what he says there in verse 19. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. Underline the word evident. And here they are, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and all things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If we sow to our flesh, we're going to, of our flesh, reap corruption. Now, here's the amazing thing about when we sow to the flesh. We believe that what we're doing is in private. And we do it very discreetly. But here's what happens. As I sow to that flesh in private, it begins to manifest itself in very public ways. For example, you take some seed and you put it in the ground. To the mind that's not trained and understand that, it looks very ineffective. But ultimately, it will, in a very demonstrative way, reveal exactly what it is. I lived in South Georgia for 12 years. As a matter of fact, from 1975 to 87, I pastored Southside Baptist Church in Jeff Davis County. Now, like every small South Georgia area, there's usually a plant, and that plant kind of gives life to that community. And where the plant goes, the life value goes. But also in Jeff Davis County, as many of the counties surrounding it, there is an agricultural setting. And many of those farms have been passed down from generation to generation. And here's what they do. They do the same thing every year. They take seed in the spring. They cultivate the land. They get it ready. And then they plant that seed. Now, here's what happens. Inevitably, they will work the land. They begin by preparing it. They plant their seed and they keep cultivating it. They keep watering it. They keep giving it nutrients of different kind. And here's what's going to happen. That which seems to be hidden, out of sight, and ineffective is ultimately going to bring forth a crop. They sow, they reap. They sow in the spring, they reap in the fall. They sow the seed and the crop comes in. Same thing happens with us in our flesh. What we may think is private, hidden, nobody knows about, nobody can see, ultimately is going to affect our lives in so many different ways if we sow to the flesh. You know what marriage counselors tell us? Marriage counselors tell us that when a couple comes in, if you can go back to their dating life and find out what kind of dating life that they had, you can tell how to fix them. For example, here's a couple, and listen to me, young marrieds, and listen to me, singles, and listen to me, young people. Here's a couple that goes straight to the physical act of sex. And there's great joy in that for them, and there's great pleasure in that, and it's certainly private, it's certainly hidden, nobody certainly knows about it, and it's done very, very discreet. But now here's what happens. What they sow in the flesh is going to reap, they're going to reap somewhere in that marriage. And so rather than learning each other, rather than becoming friends, rather than deepening a relationship emotionally and relationally, they jump to the physical act, they lose the perspective of what God wants that relationship to be, and they're reaping what they have sown. They sowed it here in the very beginning, and now they're reaping it in that marriage. One of the young men that I had the privilege of seeing come to faith in Christ is now very successful in Jacksonville. As a matter of fact, from time to time, his business, his company is in the news, and he is a very strong, strong believer. His wife's name is Katie. And he said, I knew that Katie was the girl for me when I met her and we began dating. He said, but here's how we began our relationship. We begin our relationship by becoming friends. I understood who she was. I understood what she wanted in life. I understood what her goals were. I understood what her values were. I understood where she was going. And she began to understand mine. We begin to talk to one another. We begin to communicate with one another. We had a ever-deepening relationship. And we did not enter into the physical relationship until after the marriage. They sowed, and what they sowed, they are now reaping. He has three children, two extremely good-looking young men and a beautiful daughter, and all three of them are involved in ministry. Why? Because he refused to sow to his flesh. He decided to sow to the Spirit, and God has blessed him. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want you to listen to me if you're single, if you're young, if you're not yet married. I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. If you get involved only in the physical act, and this culture that we're living in, it applauds it. It says you ought to do it. You have the right to do it. You have the freedom to do it. As a matter of fact, if you don't do it, there's something wrong with you. I want you to listen to me. You're going to reap what you sow if you do not obey the Word of God in the physical relationship. And I'll tell you right there, every daddy should have stood up and shouted, "Preach it, preacher! Preach it, preacher! Preach it, preacher!" Why? Because what we sow, we're going to reap. You find somebody who can't get along with anybody, they've got social BO. And they've always got to have their way. You know anybody like that? Some of you husbands are being punched in the ribs as I speak. They are argumentative. They're contemptuous. They've always got to have their way. What are they doing? They're sowing to their flesh, and they're going to reap it. What are you sowing in the life of your children? I pastored a man one time who was a very disciplined man, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a very good thing. The problem is he was overboard with it. And he had a set plan for his children's life. Every day when they came home, he had certain things for them to do. Nothing wrong with that, but he went overboard with it. He had them in the fields. He had them working. He believed that any kind of recreation was of the devil. If they had played ball, he wouldn't have let them in the first place. He wouldn't have gone to the games in the second place. And he was just hard and cruel. He never laughed with them. He never had any fun with them. And I want you to listen to me. He had three kids, three boys, and all three of those boys rebelled against their daddy. And they rebelled against the church. I hear people say this: "Well, my teenager left the church because they didn't like it." No, that's not true. Your teenager left the church because they saw hypocrisy in the house. Somebody help me preach now. They saw somebody who said one thing and lived another. They saw a father who would not stand up and be a man. He may have been a fundamentalist. He may have been strong and strict and all of those things, but he sowed to his flesh, never loved his children like he should have loved them, and what happened is they rebelled. Listen to me. Listen to me. Are you listening? Say amen. Daddies, and I want to talk to daddies, and I want to talk to you strong. I want to talk to men because I are a man, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. God has given you a precious heritage. God has given you children. And He wants you to take those children like arrows in a bow and shoot them in a proper direction. Your children need discipline. Absolutely. Amen. Hallelujah. If they don't do what you tell them, take them to the woodshed and let there be bloodshed. Discipline them. But listen to me. Discipline them in love. Have fun with your children. If your children play ball, go to see them. You say, "I can't do it at work." Quit work, go to see them. Invest your life in your children, because if you don't, you're sowing death. My son's 34 years old. I know you can't believe that. October will be 35. You say, "Pastor, you're just too young a man." I know that. I know that. It's true. And I was with Scott this week, head surgery, and we hung out with him this week. And he wrote me a letter when I turned 50. I mean, when I turned 50, I'm going to read the note he wrote me. And here's what he said: "Daddy, you're my hero. And you love God more than anybody I've ever seen." Now, I want to tell you something. What he wrote was way, way overblown. But you know what, guys? I didn't miss a ball game. When Scotty was playing ball, I was preaching all over the place. I was preaching a lot of revivals and a lot of conferences. And I would deliberately schedule my preaching meetings so that I could get back to see him play ball. Now, I want to tell you something. When he was with a senior in high school, he broke the record at Ed White High School and Jeff Davis for the bench. He was 17 years old, and he bench pressed 300 pounds. And I want to tell you, I was sitting in that auditorium, and when I was as nervous as a cat for Scott. My palms were sweaty, and I was just nervous. And when he brought the bench, the bar down, and he touched his chest, and he pressed that thing, I want to tell you, I shouted like all glory had just come down. That's my boy! Anybody here want to fight about it? That's my boy. And I want to tell you something, brother. Listen to me. I would do the same thing over and over again. Did I discipline? Oh, yeah, probably not as much as I should have. But we laughed together. We had fun together. He was my son then. He is my son now. But he is my friend now also. Why? What I'm telling you, fathers, is this. Love your children. Discipline your children. But have fun with them. Sow life into them. Sow the life of the Spirit into your children. You know the worst thing a man can do is criticize his wife? You know why? Because when you criticize your wife, you're criticizing yourself. And that's foolish. Because your wife is a reflection of you. She is a mirror image of you. And if you've got problems with her, it's because you've got issues in your life you haven't dealt with. I'm going to tell you something that I've not told anybody, and I'm going to tell you today because my wife is not here today. And if you tell her I said this, I'm going to kill you. In Jesus' name, you're a dead man. You're never going to believe this, but it's the truth. I lie sometimes, this is the truth. Cheryl is 2 years, 3 months older than I am. Nobody can ever believe that. They say, is this your daughter? Now, folks, if I could color my hair up and put highlights in it, if I could paint my face all up, I'd look pretty good, too. If you tell her I said that, I'll kill you. So I've developed this thing I'm trying to do in her life. And I'm trying when I go home and when I see her, I'm trying to say, hey, beautiful. And she says, oh, yeah, sure, she loves it. You know why? Because so much of my life, I've not done that. Not elevated her and exalted her. And I want to sow spiritually in her life, not death. And I want to see her develop and blossom into the person that I know, because I know the qualities. I know her values. I know how God uses her when she teaches God's word to a group of ladies. I know what she's like when she's in a social setting. I know what kind of pastor's wife that she is. And I want her to be ministered to in life. I want to sow into her life spirit, not flesh. Spirit and life. And oh, men, listen to me, guys. Do that in your wife's life. Do that in the life of your children. Gentlemen, do that in the life of your church. Because we're going to reap what we sow. Now walk with me through these next two verses. Look at verses 9 and verse 10. And let me show you where we sow life in three different areas. Look at verse 9. For those of us who are wanting to sow in the Spirit, not in the flesh, we got to understand that this verse assumes there's a battle when you want to do that. Look at verse 9. And let us not lose heart. Underline the word or the phrase there, lose heart. Let us not lose heart in doing good, because those who are sowing in the Spirit are sowing to doing good deeds. For in due time, underline the little phrase, due time. We shall reap, underline shall we reap, if we do not grow weary. Doing good, for some reason, in the process of doing good, it's easy to lose heart. It's easy to stop. It's easy to faint away when things get tough. Here's what he says. The promise is this. You shall reap. You shall reap. Listen, you shall reap. But you've got to sow and keep on sowing. Who are you praying for right now? You say, well, my children are away from God and I get so discouraged. Don't lose heart. You may be gone. You may be in eternity. But don't you lose heart. You sow prayer into the life of those children. You leave them a whole mountain of prayer in their lives. Don't you lose heart. You say, oh, pastor, my husband's not a believer. And he seems to be getting further and further away from God. Keep sowing good. Keep doing good. Keep believing. Listen to me, ladies. Treat him as though he were already saved. Treat him as though he were already a member of the kingdom of God. And don't lose heart when he walks away or when he seems to become bitter or hardened at you. No, no, no. Don't lose heart. Keep planting. Keep planting. Because if you keep planting, you shall reap. And I don't know what good you're doing. I don't know what you're praying. I don't know who's on your heart and the burden there. But don't stop it. And there are three particular areas that we're to sow into. Look at verse 9 or verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, and this is a day and age of grace, and right now we have open doors for us, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Very quickly, three ways we are to sow in people's life. We are to sow into the lives of those who minister God's truth to us. Look at verse 6. And the one who has taught the word, share all good things with him who he teaches. What does that mean, Pastor? What is he talking about there? He is talking about the obligation and responsibility of the church to take care of its pastors. And I want you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. In the New Testament church, there's a mutual responsibility. The congregation has the responsibility of sharing financially in the body to keep the church running. And the pastors of that church have the responsibility of ministering the Word of God to them. And he says, I want you to minister in their lives. I want you to bear the responsibility of the church. And then he says, we have the responsibility of sharing in the community. Did you notice in verse 10 that he said, let us do good to all men? That's why we will continue to be and push the church next door. Because we have something to offer our community that no social group has. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And men are lost without the gospel. And we need bridges to be built and opportunities to open doors to share the gospel with a community that's lost and dying, whether they know it or not. And then he says we are responsible to one another, especially to those of the household. Did you notice he didn't say just of faith, but of the faith, the embodiment of truth, the truth that lies within the Word of God. And church, come here, church, right now. We are to sow spirit. We are to sow life into one another. That happens all the time in this church. Some of you give money in your small groups. Some of you support different ministries out of your small groups. And it happens all the time. Some of you are always grabbing somebody by the arm and praying with them. Or you're saying, let us pray over your marriage. Let us pray over your children. You are doing good. You are planting the seed of good in the community, but also in the church. And you know what happens? You keep doing that. God says you're going to reap it. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. You're listening. Say amen. I know it's almost 12. We're almost done. Watch this. You've never given anybody time that God hasn't given back to you. You've never given anybody money that God hasn't restored to you. You've never completed one good job or one good deed that God has not rewarded you for. So you just keep on sowing, because the law of the harvest is going to come true. Here's what I want to do. In our first service, and that doesn't mean it has to happen in this service, but in our first service, I gave an invitation on the first verse to the men who were in that first group, about the same number as are in here. And there was a whole host of men who said, you know what, Pastor? Like your pastor, we've sown to the flesh, and we've of the flesh reaped corruption and death. And here's what the invitation was to them, and here's what it is to you guys. Listen to me, men. The invitation is, God, we repent of sowing to our flesh. And whether it's in our children, our wives, our church, our community, we want to begin to be life. And we want to sow spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness. We want to sow life in our church, in our community, and in our homes. And I'm going to ask you men, because men, I believe we're responsible. I'm going to ask you men to get out of your seat, onto your feet, and gather with me around this altar. And let's say, God, we want to sow seeds of life. How many of you men, right now, before a note is played or a song is sang, how many of you men would get out of your seat and join me around this altar right now? Come on. You know what God promises us when we sow seed in our community in the life of people who are without faith? You know what God promises us? God says in the book of 1 Corinthians that when we sow seed into the life of a lost man, that He works with us. That He is a co-laborer with us. So when you share your faith, God is working with you. And God says in the life of a husband, you know the amazing thing about the ministry of grace, guys? Grace is always more demanding than the law was because it goes beyond the law. But you know the amazing thing about grace is every demand made upon your life is made upon the life of Christ in you. Every demand made upon your life is made upon the life of Christ in you. So I want you to think with me for a moment. Thank you, number one, because I am a man and I know the difficulties, I know pride and ego of getting up and standing in the congregation like this to make a commitment. And here's our commitment. To sow into our lives and the lives of others. Specifically, I mentioned children, wife, community, church. Spirit life. Spirit seeds. That means this. When I know this life, a walk of the flesh, I repent of it. I'm already forgiven of it, but I repent of it. I turn away from it. I consciously do that. Now, you know why I ask you to come forward? Because I need you, and you need one another. The Bible says this, iron sharpens iron. And here's the deal. I am, whether anybody else walks the Christian life or not, I'm supposed to, because Joshua said, don't know what everybody else is going to do. Me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. But you know what, folks? You know what, guys? It's easier when you're walking with me. It's easier when I have somebody who loves me enough to say, that wasn't right. That's not a good thing. When somebody who loves me pulls me aside and says, hey, here's how we can do better in this area. So I'm asking you to come forward because I believe that you can make a difference in this church, in your home, and in this community. And I want to pray over you guys. I know guys don't like to hold hands. I'm not much into that either. But touch one another on the arm or shoulder. And let me pray with you. God, we're going to reap what we sow. We're going to reap more than we sow. And we certainly will reap later than we sow. Some of us know that because we've seen the consequences reveal themselves in our lives. What we want to do is we stand here before you or sit here before you because some could not come forward for different reasons. What we want to do, Father, is sow to the Spirit, according to Galatians 6 and 8. And we want to reap life. We want to minister life. We want to encourage one another. We want to encourage our families. We want to encourage our children. We want to be involved in the life of this community as a church, not simply as another group, but as a church who has the answer for the ills of the world, and that is the cross of Christ. And so I want to personally thank you for these men who've come forward. And I want to pray an anointing upon their lives. And Father, because of this commitment today, when they walk out of here, they'll be in a battle. Let them know the battle's already won. The victory's already ours. And the answer is to bring our flesh to the cross and daily appropriate your life for us. Fill these men with your Spirit. Give us a group of Spirit-filled men who will sow good seed, the good seed of the gospel, wherever they go. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there any man here at the altar or anybody in this congregation who does not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Anybody like that here today? Is there anybody here at this altar or in this church who says, you know what? I believe this is the church that God wants me to be a part of. And I need to join this church. Anybody here like that at the altar? Or anybody in the congregation today? We're praying about a church member. All right? All right? So in the name of Jesus, Father, give us the fruit for our labor today. Congregation, would you stand? Gentlemen, you can go back to your seats. Sing with us as Brother Steve leads us in a song of invitation.